Hey fam, let's catch the moment. We open this space with the knowledge that the land in which we are located is occupied and unceded territories. On this, their traditional land and ancestral home, join us in acknowledging the tribal groups from where we personally vibe, including the Kickapoo, Kansaw, Osage, Odos, Missouri, Potawatomi, Sioux, Shawnee, Wyandotte, Choctaw, and Chitimacha tribes. We look to you as we become better stewards of the land we inhabit. Peace and love. Let go.
All right. Yeah. So story time.
What's up, and welcome to the We Out Here podcast, the place to hear the stories of Black, Brown, and Indigenous folks in science and nature. My name is Alexi G, coming to you from the Bull Boncha, aka New Orleans. And with me, as always,
what? Hey,
what's up? What's up? What's up?
Oh, it's me, Allison.
The one.
Coming from, you know, the Kaw, Kansaw, Kickapoo area, this glorious melting pot that is on the settler map known as KCMO and Kansas City, Kansas. We shan't forget them. Yes, yes. I can't. We've been gone.
Yeah.
For a while.
It's been.
We took a hiatus. We took a Juneteenth hiatus, which was necessary to celebrate freedom and also really just stick it to the establishment.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Take that state of Texas. Yeah. Deal with that.
Or just like go to sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like sleep a little bit. You know, that's freedom too.
Happy love you. Celebrate we see freedom, you. Man. Get that music. Get that barbecue. Let's go.
Get that barbecue, man. Yeah.
Allison and I, for those of you who don't know, if you're just tuning in for the first time ever, Allison and I are from Kansas City, the birthplace of the best barbecue in the United States. Welcome. Enjoy.
And if you don't believe us, take the word of a white man, Jason Sudeikis, who is also from Kansas City. It's even on his show, sponsored, Apple TV.
Yo, come give us that money, right?
yes, on Ted Lasso. There are lots of little gems.
Exactly. Only the sauciest barbecue. So with us today is a very, very, very special guest. Our first marine aquatic guest of the season, Anna Silverio. Introduce yourself with your name, your pronouns, and what you do.
Hi, everyone. My name is Anna Silverio. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I am a marine biologist / fishery scientist starting my master's.
Yes. Ooh. Where at,
the University of New Hampshire in the Marine Ecology Lab.
Quantitative Marine Ecology Lab.
You know, when you hear terms like quantitative, that's when things get exciting.
Yeah,
right.
I hope by the end of my master's, I learn how to spell it correctly. The amount of times I say qualitative instead of quantitative in my write-up, too many.
Yes.
Listen, it couldn't be as bad as people misspelling Renaissance right now, so let's go.
As soon as she mentioned the help of like, please help me spell this correctly, I thought of me and Wednesday and how I have to literally say Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I do that too in February.
Okay, all right. Well, I think it's story time.
So in the summer of 2021, or like what I like to think it's summer, it's technically May, at the end of May, in Miami, Florida. So it's not technically summer, but it certainly feels like it.
Welcome to Miami.
That's very much how I felt like it was my first time there. And I won a scholarship with Field School, which is a really awesome organization that kind of takes these learning environments and makes them fun, supportive, inclusive, so that every student gets these opportunities to experience these things like shark tagging, be on a boat for a week, snorkeling, which is what the story will focus on. And I was able to win the scholarship. It was one of those random, like, I'm at home inside, saw the application, let's go for it, and I won it, which was awesome. So, you know, leading up to this, you know, got my gear, cold called on Twitter being like, yo, I don't know what snorkeling gear, like, needs, like, what brand, what do I need? so I don't like epically fail.
And what did the Twitterverse tell you?
The Twitterverse sent me so many links and they were so helpful. So I was able, you know, I flew down there. I was so excited, you know, first time snorkeling. I get in my Uber to take me to the marina, like straight away from when I land. Getting to the marina, yeah, it was like right off the bat lane, we're getting going. The day was really hot and sticky, but knowing that I was heading to the marina cooled me off in my head. I was like, I'm about to be by the ocean. I'm excited. The sea breeze was like immediate in my face as soon as I got out of the Uber, which was like after being inside and being in the tent, like up until then, like it was like the next time I was by the ocean, it was like you get that sea smell of like the fresh fish coming out, the saltiness in the air. You hear all the gulls buzzing around, which is always something I love to hear once you're by the coast, is like all the gulls. And all the boats are coming back in, like, so the water's sloshing around. Energy levels refilled. And so it was like, I'm excited.
Money in the air, because it's Miami. Yeah.
The sun was beating down, but yes. I could not care. I was like, I'm here for it. It was blinding in the sky, but I was, like, so excited to finally spending some time outside in the environment I love, by the ocean, on a boat, like, I was so excited. And so I start my walk over to the boat and, you know, very shakenly starting off kind of in my head, like overthinking the possibility of just like me falling into the water, just trying to get on this boat. Cause I was like with my luggage from the airport, like I straight came from the airport trying to get on this boat. And I'm like, what if I drop this? What if I fall?
Wait, they didn't give you like a place to put your luggage. They just said, get on the boat with all your shit.
Well, we'll be staying in the boat. Like, it was a big boat, not just a small one.
Oh, it was a big boat. Okay.
We thought you were tugging along.
I imagine they had you getting on Bubblegum's trawler. Like,
and in my head, I'm like, they got all these POCs just lugging their luggage around. That is so trifling.
No, yeah, it's a really big boat. RV Garmin. Housed like 10 of us, so it's still close quarters, but like it's a really good space inside.
Okay.
So I'm like stumbling over this like little bridge they have to get onto the boat itself from the marina, so immediately greeted by like their staff, like their captain and some of the other research scientists aboard. They're like, hi, like welcome, like super warm welcome, and immediately like, luggage. Okay, you need a place to go put that. So they showed me to my room immediately. And, you know, I get into the space that was going to be mine. And, you know, it was like kind of a bunk bed situation. But just the idea of like, this is on a boat. I was like, whoa. And I know boats get bigger. I was like, this is already really big to me.
What does that room look like?
So the best way I could describe it was like, kind of like a luxury closet. And it's like slightly bigger than a closet and like kind of opens that way with like the folding door. Then you get in, it's like bed, and then
luxury
like
closet above
it, other bed. And so it was a bunk bed situation, but thankfully I had that room myself.
Okay, bless.
Yeah.
That's, you know what, that prepared you for East Coast living.
It did. So I just throw my stuff in there, be like, figure this out later. Because everybody was kind of arriving to the boat at the same time as well from their flight. So I go upstairs. I reach this kind of like communal area, and that's kind of where I sit to wait till everybody else gets here. You know, we're doing like, hi, Amanda. Hi, nice to meet you. Where are you from? You excited? Yes, I am. So we're all eating lunch as we're getting to know each other, waiting for everybody to get there. And then their staff comes in and they go, okay, here's the plan for day. We're going snorkeling. And the rest of the week, we're just going to be shark tagging. So I need to get really excited because that means I get to use my gear for the first time. And then I get to feel like I know what I'm doing because I've never been snorkeling before, like I said. And I feel like up until this point, it was 2021. So I had already graduated from college. So I have my bachelor's of marine science. But I've never been snorkeling before. So I felt like a fraud, even though I shouldn't be.
Absolutely not.
That's kind of how it felt. And so I was really excited to get that like little patch of honor, I guess, into my like marine toolbox. And I expressed this immediately, kind of just because I was so excited. And, you know, a bunch of the other people I was there with, like, oh, like, that's so exciting. That I, like, you're a first timer. Like, I love snorkeling, or I love scuba diving. I've done XYZ before, and I've been to XYZ before. And that was, like, awesome that I got to listen to everybody else's expertise. But also, I was very much like, I don't want to make a fool of myself. Things kind of get going like one thing to the next as people are arriving, or like, hey, we're going to get ready for this boat to start like taking us to the snorkeling site. And you know, my heart starts racing a bit, like, okay, we're actually doing this. And they say like, oh, like if you guys want to go get ready, like get your like whatever you're going to wear out to snorkel. And even then I was like, okay, I brought a wetsuit, but like, what do you wear under the wetsuit? And like, do I even have the right kind? I was like, kind of like,
I had never even thought about like, that.
So what do you wear under a wetsuit? They're like, wear shorts. So you wear your like swimsuit. And I was like, okay, got it. So I was like, okay, intel. Changed into my wetsuit, went outside, and I was like, kind of like, I hope I'm not like accidentally looking like someone who doesn't know what they're doing. But thankfully, everyone was like, oh, I love your wetsuit. And I was like, oh, thank God. So I'm doing this right.
Yes, I love it. I love wetsuit, but make it fashion in your luxury closet.
In the luxury closet.
I just imagine the idea of your shit hanging out the back of your wetsuit. Yeah. It's like walking out of the bathroom with toilet paper on your shoe.
No, instead, it was a wetsuit catwalk.
Yeah.
Boom, yes.
Boom, boom, fashion, 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 fashion.
I was so terrified of like wearing it backwards on accident. I don't know.
You know what, though? I can see that. Because zipping up either way makes sense to me. Other than the feet. The feet would be a disaster.
Oh my God.
At first I was like, maybe I'll wear like the actual like a whole wetsuit, but what, first of all, it was Miami, it was hot, and the water was not gonna be cold. So I luckily brought my other one, which is, I can't remember the technical name for it, but it's basically like you have like, it looks like swim bottoms, but the top half is completely like a wetsuit, completely covers your arms. But it doesn't completely cover your legs.
Great.
So I chose that one, hoping that like, okay, just hopefully someone else is also wearing something like this. But I was good. I was golden. And which was also a good decision because I think I would have been really hot in the other one. And I don't even think I would have been able to put it on all by myself, to be honest. Those things are really tight. But you know, I walk outside and I'm like, so, like instant smell of sunscreen because everyone's starting to apply. And the smell of sunscreen either triggers two things. You're like going to the beach or I'm going to a water park.
Yes.
But both things are happy memories. So I was hyped. And you know, we apply sunscreen. We all sit down on this like sort of bench like area that's in the back of the boat. And all our gear is to our left. And we kind of start getting like the kind of spiel you give, you know, what you hear on roller coasters, like, please keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times. We kind of start getting that spiel of safety. Don't do this. Don't do that. Please keep yourself safe. And then they get to the question, who's snorkeling for the first time? And me and another girl, like, very slowly, like, put our hands up, like, we are... and they were very excited, obviously. They were like, okay, awesome. That just means we're going to have to go a little bit more detail on what we're explaining. Not a problem. And as the boat's taking off, we're slowing out of the marina. We're, you know, cruising by the rest of the boats, getting out to the bay. You know, Miami skyline in front of us. It's beautiful. Water is like super blue and nice, which is what you don't see in Texas.
No. Don't got that brown water.
Brown water.
I feel like there's little ting 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 on everything as you're like sailing out. Yes. Yeah. It's perfect.
Yeah. And we turn the corner to go under a bridge that kind of separates like the inner city bay to be like on the way out to the open ocean. Mm-hmm. And you know, that boat starts cranking speed, so it's like, oh, and we're ready to go, and the wind and the breeze picks up to the point where like you can't really hear anything, right? And it's just so like moment of the edge of the Titanic. You're just kind of like taking it all in, and it was awesome. And you know, we're talking, we're mingling amongst ourselves, kind of like talking about like, oh, the wind's really strong today. That means like the currents are going to be a bit stronger, just FYI, but like should not be a problem. They kind of described the site to be kind of a seagrass area. So it'll be shallow and we'll be able to see some nursery fish who, you know, stay there for the beginning portions of their lives on the edge of like a kind of a mangrove habitat. So I was really excited to see that. And we start slowing down. And so we anchor in, and that's when the whole spiel starts. We're like, this is what we're going to be doing. These are, and they start explaining all the equipment, right? So they go through, like, these are your fins. This is how you wear them. This is how we wear them. Found out that sometimes there's, like, a special kind of sock. I did not bring a special kind of sock. But I think they were like, it's the water's warm enough. You won't be swimming for that long. You should be fine. But apparently there's a special kind of sock you can wear inside a fin. You know, goes over our snorkel, our like goggle mask situation. There were so many things I just didn't know that like goes into it. Like you can buy like special sea drops that you put on your mask so it doesn't fog. You can like see. Yeah. Apparently, I think.
Yeah, I've heard of that one. I've heard if you like spit on it.
Yeah, I heard spit on it because I think they were like, because I bought the like the special kind because I was like, I don't know. And we get there like, you can spit on it or you can use hand sanitizer or like, oh, or like, I think it was like baby oil.
Allison's face looks so disgusting.
I was just like, yeah, I couldn't even. It's
fine. And give us the rundown of like, this is how well it should fit on your face. You know, remember to breathe out of your mouth because your nose would be in the goggle mask. And that's something that you don't think you need to be told, but you do need to be told to remember to breathe out of your mouth. How to use a snorkel, all that situation. And then got into the part where my brain was trying to absorb every single second of when they explain how to jump off the boat, how to land in the water, how to signal you're safe, which is making a fist with your hand and putting it above your head and kind of like tapping your head with it. That signals them that you're good, you're safe, you made it into water okay. And then they also explained how to swim with the fins. And so obviously we are not fish people. So the way we swim is we move our knees. So we move our knees, and if we move them faster, you swim faster as well as your arms. I used to swim as a kid, so that's how I learned to swim. That's how everybody learns to swim. But when you're using fins, when you're pretending to be a fish, you have to kind of elongate your strides instead of pedaling faster. So your motion comes from your hips instead of your knees. Actually, you want to ideally keep your knees straight and not bend them. And my brain goes, how the heck am I supposed to swim?
That seems so counterintuitive.
Yeah,
okay.
And so I am a big visual person. So they're using words and I'm like, I don't know what the hell this looks like. And they're trying to kind of show me, like, on the deck itself, like, pretending to, like, paddle on the deck. And I'm like, I kind of see it, but I'm kind of don't understand how I'm supposed to do this. And in my brain, it's easy to be like, oh, I'll just use my hips then. Duh. But as I get into it, it did not come second nature to me. It was super hard to do without, like, looking yourself in a mirror, which you can't do in the ocean. But the more I talk about it with some people, they're around, it's like, oh, I went through the same thing. Like, it's not like something that's so second nature to us. And we kind of get like, we're anchored down and we're finishing this talk and we immediately get sent off. So like, okay, start preparing your gear. And thankfully, shout out to Captain Nick, came over specifically to me and the other girl who were doing this for the first time. We're like, let's do this together. And I was like, awesome. And the wave of relief I had when he was like, oh my gosh, your gear, it's awesome. I love this brand. I'm like, get something right.
I'm Thank solid. You, Captain Nick, so much.
Yeah. It's like, obviously I knew what I was doing. and so it was just like a little reassuring that I like did buy like some good quality gear. So I wasn't going to be like half snorkeled, like gone because it was like not made for this or something. But they did an amazing job explaining everything, showing us how to do the movements and the legs, how to fit my snorkel on my face, how to like breathe the water out of my snorkel if I get water in it, stuff like that. And we get ready to jump off the boat, and me and the other girl were gonna go last because we were gonna have a very special buddy to make sure that we're okay, which I appreciated. And jumping off the boat, it was very much like you kind of move up to the edge. You kind of waddle, really, because you have your fins on. And you jump sort of backwards so that you land facing them. And they have a rope lined out so that you can quickly grab onto it so you're not, like, wishing away with the current so that you can signal that you're okay. Because there's no point of you being able to signal with them if they can't see you anymore. Or it's also important to jump away so that you accidentally don't start moving towards, like, their propeller isn't on, but it's also just not good to accidentally end up under the boat. And so as I'm getting to my spot, I'm meticulously watching everybody jump in. I'm like, okay, she did this. Okay, she did this. And I'm, like, moving, like, closer and, like, pretending to do it so I can have the movement down. and it's finally my turn, and I just kind of, like, go for it. And it's just so, like, water's rushing over you. You're submerged. You get the taste of that saltiness in ocean water in your mouth that you're just like, I forgot that, you know, this has a taste. You see. And
like oysters.
Like oysters, exactly, now that I know that. And the first thing you need to do is expel that water out of your snorkel. And I basically just, like, huff and puff, like, the hardest I could, because I just didn't know how much strength you needed. Just, like, I need to make sure this water's out. And I do that, grab onto the rope, and signal that I'm okay with a fist over my head. The feeling of wearing fins underwater is so unique. I immediately try to, like, start wading, like, straight up, and it's hard to do because it almost feels like you're wearing high heels. They're like, your feet aren't your feet anymore. They're suddenly, like, longer, obviously, because of the fin.
Yes, okay,
and
yes.
You can't feel the plastic part, so it feels like you have phantom limbs, and you're trying so hard to, like, stand. And it's, like, high heels that are too tall for you. And you're kind of like, I don't know what I'm stepping on. So it was very difficult for me to, like, try to figure out a way to, like be wading in the water without, like, swimming away because of my fins. Mm-hmm. And so I was, like, my head's, like, half in, half out. I'm, like, like a bobbing head in the ocean. Like, just trying to make sure I'm, like, can I still breathe? Can I still breathe? Waiting for, like, that signal that, like, we're going to keep going. And so then my buddy was like, all right, we can start swimming out to the site. So we were obviously in the deeper part because the shallow part would be way too shallow for a boat. So our purpose was to, like, swim over to the very much more shallow site and hang out around there. By the time I, like, landed in the water, everybody was gone. They were out on the site already, as far as can be. And so we needed to catch up. And so we started swimming, and immediately, like I described, did not know how to swim with the fins. I was trying to go faster, and my brain goes, okay, so paddle faster. Nope, that just makes it harder because you're working against gravity. You're working against, you know, water resistance, your physics.
Yeah.
Physics that I'm not good at. And so I'm like, okay, from the hips. I don't know how to move my hips. I move them side to side, but I'm supposed to move them up and down. That's not working. I'm like what Allison's moving right now. Like, I'm kind of just, like, jerking around in the ocean. So you're like, okay, are my hips moving? Are my hips moving? And so I try my best doing, like, the half in between of, like, I'm half pedaling fast, half trying to use my hips. And I'm looking down into the water with my goggles. It's turbid. The current's strong. Turbid means that, like, the visibility is very low. And I can't see to the bottom because it's very deep. It feels like I'm not moving because I can't have a point of reference in the ocean of something moving past me. So I'm trying my hardest. This is the hardest cardio I've done in, like, a year.
Yes. Can you feel the heat?
My legs are burning. My lungs are like, I'm like, I did cross country in high school too. So I'm like, in through your nose, out through your mouth. Wait a second. I can't do that. I have goggles on. So okay, I'm like,
my training is failing me. My training is failing me.
And so I'm just trying to calm myself down because I'm like, okay, I'm underwater, but I can breathe. I have my snorkel out of the water. I can breathe. Okay, I am breathing. So I at least can keep going. And I'm constantly moving my head out of the water, like, just in and out, in and out. So I'm splashing around, and, like, my goggles are constantly having to, like, have to be wiped because I'm breaching that kind of surface all the time just to make sure that I'm moving. I'm like, are those distant figures getting closer. Please tell me they're getting closer, that I'm moving closer towards them, because it just didn't feel like I was moving. It felt like I was running in place almost, just because the current was so strong and I had no point of reference. I don't think I was doing it right. My poor buddy Juliana was like doing the best she could to be like reassuring, to be like, you're still moving, you're doing good. And then a freaking spotlight in front of me, the sun finally starts penetrating like shallow enough to where I can see something on the ground. And I wish there was like some kind of like music to like in that moment, I felt symphonies going off, because I was like, I can see seagrass. I can see the bottom. And as I'm seeing the bottom, I can see myself moving by the bottom. So I'm like, I'm moving forward. Confirm. We're moving. But then at the same time, I'm like, oh shit. Like, I can see the ground and I can see underwater. So this is like kind of that first time I'm realizing that I'm being able to like see what's going on underwater and under the sea, and seeing what's buzzing around while we're just like always on the ground.
You're like, I'm in the ocean.
Yeah. And it's just so surreal, because, you know, you study it for so long. You see the YouTube videos, you see the documentaries, you read about it in textbooks, you hear other people's stories. But then you're seeing it for the first time. You're like, humans were not like evolved to be able to do this. But here I am doing this.
Fins and all. And
fins and all. And I finally get to the point where, you know, the current isn't as strong anymore in the shallow water. I'm able to focus more on my form, finally get it down a bit more, and the seagrass starts turning into more seagrass, and you start noticing these jellyfish at the bottom, like, have these like purplish shells, which is like the head of the jellyfish, but mm-hmm. the way they were on the bottom is like they were upside down, so their stingers were up. At first it looked like sea anemones, but, you know, I asked them like, oh no, that's a jellyfish.
Oh, kind of like a hydra, a little bit?
Yeah. And I started noticing so many of these on the floor, and it's just like, you see things in aquariums, but when you're seeing them in real life doing their jellyfish things, you're like, right. There you are. You're doing your thing. Yeah. And it was so like ironic to have spent so much of that with my head constantly above water to make sure that I was like moving, to this point where I was like, I'm not taking my eyes off of this. Mm-hmm. I'm not breaching the water for anything. I get to the group of people, and, you know, they're all exploring around as well and moving from here or there. And I kind of swim towards like a little bit bigger opening where there was less people, and spend some kind of like one-on-one time with like the mangroves. Mangroves are awesome because their root system's all underwater, and the way they look underwater, it's just like cascading branches down to the floor. Mm-hmm. And the sun beams down and it like breaks apart. It hits these branches and creates these small little spotlight moments all underwater. And I'm watching, and there's like hundreds of like small juvenile fish just swimming out of these branches. Like, that's all they were made to do, is just to swim. I was just so, like, look at them in their little nursery habitat. You learn it and you see it, and like, they really do just hang out by these little roots and live their little fish mm-hmm. lives until they're big enough to move on.
Swim somewhere else.
I was happy that I pushed myself to keep doing this, because there was many points in that swim over where I was like fighting the current, where I was like, I'm not strong enough for this, or I'm not like aerobic mm-hmm. enough for this. And no, like, thankfully, like, you know, Catherine, who's one of the research scientists on the boat, she like spoke with me there in like that one-on-one time and was like, you know, you did awesome for your first time. Like, you're going to have an easier time anytime else, because the currents aren't going to be this strong. I was like, nice. But accomplishing that and just experiencing that for the first time, I was very much like a different person afterwards. Mm. I was so more much appreciative of like, of what's happening all around at the same time we're even speaking right now. You know, there's so much that we don't see, but world's a busy, busy bee.
I love that. I mean, I love any marine story, and I again, that's probably why I failed, because I have yet to take the dive.
I don't know if you failed, Allison. You just haven't succeeded in that.
Thank you.
That's a great way to look at it.
I was sitting here thinking like, gosh, I know I need to do that. It's just one of those things that freaks me out a little. I can swim. I'm a decent swimmer. It's not that. I was wanted to be the SeaWorld girl. That was my dream in life.
No, yeah, I mean, Allison was going for it.
I relate. Like, I feel the same. I still don't have my scuba diving license, even though after this experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just because it's sort of terrifying to me because there's so many things that could go wrong. It's but everybody I talk to goes,
right,
well, I mean, you'll be fine. Like, I'm fine. Like, it just, you get used to it. But to me, like, I was like, what if you're underwater?
Right? You're like chilling underwater.
You're underwater. You realize
also, if you come up underwater,
you trust in a tank.
If you come up from underwater too fast, you like boil on the inside.
Yeah,
like, what's happening?
How unnatural that is to just be underwater. Like, it's one of the like technological advancements, I think, that's like really like put us in a different world. Is some people talk about going to space, but all you really got to do is go underwater.
They're all there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For
They're
real.
All there.
I think it's pretty interesting how I was noticing that throughout the story, when you were talking about the part that you were most anxious about, a lot of your thinking seemed to be more abstracted, and you were thinking about like, you know, I'm not as good mm-hmm. as these other people, or I'm nervous about my skills, or, you know, thinking about like the consequences or a hyper awareness of what you don't know. To when you got comfortable and your anxiety decreased, you seemed to have a more presence of mind, where you were very present in the moment, you were appreciating the things around you. And I think that metaphorically in general, when it comes to like our own anxieties about things, that really holds up when it comes to, you know, a lot of times when we get really nervous about something and are scared to do something, a lot of times just bringing your thoughts to like being more present in the moment can be incredibly alleviating. Yours was more of a result of like, oh, this isn't as bad as I thought it was.
Yeah.
So like you naturally shifted to no longer having to devote mental faculties to all this other stuff. But in terms of like managing our own anxieties, a lot of times, you know, doing presence of mind exercises can
be
really
helpful. Most definitely. It's very much like helps you just have a different like brain path mm-hmm. when you think. Because I very much tend to jump to that worst case scenario. But something I was told is that we can choose our thoughts the way we choose our clothes in the morning, and choosing those thoughts that give us more.
I got Allison right there.
We can be more present minded rather than being this abstract big picture that takes us away, sort of sometimes.
Shook.
Do you do the counting sensory exercises when you get? Because you mentioned that you have like anxiety.
Yeah.
And do you ever do those sensory counting exercises?
I do sometimes. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, like everything, but it's very grounding. Yeah. Being able to breathe and telling my brain, you're like, hey, you're breathing, so you're fine.
Yeah.
Works wonders to snap your brain out of that fight or flight response to like, oh, nothing's wrong.
Yep. So for people who aren't familiar with these can be done for people who have anxiety disorders or people who just are anxious or nervous about something. You take a moment, you just like breathe, count your breaths, and then you can identify like a number, like three as the random number I choose, where it's like three things that you can hear.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you can smell, because I usually don't smell that many things in any given space, hopefully. Two or three sounds that you can hear. When you identify them, like really think about them and then just like focus on that. And what you do is you shift your thinking to like what is in
your present moment
environment. Yeah. And as long as you're not in like a very stimulating, scary environment, it can oftentimes be helpful.
Yeah.
So something for people to think about.
I love that. And I love that nature has the ability to do that.
It really does.
On its own.
Yep. Anna, who would you like to give some shouts out to?
I would love to give a shout out to Field School, who, you know, gave me this opportunity and it created such an inclusive space to do this for the first time.
Nice.
So, you know, they're Get Out Into the Field out on Google, if you want to Google that. And also, you know, shout out to MIS, which is Minorities in Shark Sciences. Yeah, you know, their co-founders, you know, Jasmine, Amani, Carly, and Jada. Awesome, awesome, awesome people who are doing
cool people online.
Incredible work in making this space just so much more accessible to everybody and just creating opportunities out the wazoo. Like, they're doing awesome work. So being generous.
Yeah.
Go donate to them.
I'm always mind boggled. They are putting in work and they deserve recognition.
Absolutely.
All right. I'm going to leave us with one last joke.
Oh, no.
When getting off the boat, why do scuba divers fall backwards? Because if they went forward, they'd fall in the boat.
Get us out of here.
Oh.
We out. podcast is Allison Jones and Alexi Cruces. Show theme by Spencer Sneddon and show graphics by Khalif Gillette. Follow us on Twitter at We Out Here Pod and on Instagram at The We Out Here Pod. If y'all like the show, then hit us with a review. Give us a little 5-star rating wherever you listen to your podcast. Because we're just a couple of clowns trying to make our way in this circus. So, you know, check out the Patreon at patreon.com/weoutherepod. You'll be able to listen to a full-length interview and epilogue from Honest Story and from other ones from our guests. You'll also have access to merch, listener questions, and other such bonuses. But most of all, you'll know that you're helping support directly two Black creatives struggling to bring y'all this blitz. And speaking of Black and Brown creatives, check out MISS, Minorities in Shark Sciences, and support them in their endeavors of making marine sciences more accessible and safe for the brown folks around. Now, on a final note, the We Out Here podcast supports land back and returning of the homelands of Indigenous people of North America to the Indigenous people of North America. An important announcement was made this summer that the Onondaga Nation will secure 1,000 acres of their historical land around Onondaga Lake up in New York after this years-long legal battle with the Honeywell Corporation. Their legal fight is far from over, but this is a significant victory for those people, and we love to see it. We encourage our listeners to support and celebrate their win as a win for us all, and look into ways in which you can support the local tribes in your area. Solidarity forever, y'all. Now, put on some sunscreen, go on and get outside.
In this show right now.